Thank you, Brother Drew, for opening the door for me this morning. I've had it on my heart for someone to share on the blessing of giving, tithes and offerings, and I plan to do that this morning by God's grace. So you opened up the door for me. I appreciate that, and thank God for that. And some of you have been asking about, you know, how do you do tithing here? How do you give here? Where does it go? How do you do this? So we hope to, John Omar, I'm going to have him share later on. And so we hope to give you an idea on that. But I just wanted to convey a little bit in the next 45 to 50 minutes on what it means to give. How do we give of our money? How do we properly do this? And I just our personal testimony, my personal testimony, when we stepped out of the Amish, we grew up in the Amish church, so it wasn't promoted there. Yeah, you gave, but it was never taught how to give. And so stepping out of that, we didn't know that much how to tithe, how to give, and there was brothers and sisters around us that were willing to teach us and to give us wisdom in that, give us knowledge in that. And but we left, and it never struck me that, you know, you would actually give that much of your money away, and to what? And you know, someone told me, you know, hey, just start somewhere. And you have all these ideas going through your mind. It's like, yeah, but you know, there's still a bill that isn't paid, or I should be saving up faster, or those thoughts go through your mind, right? And so we learned over the years we started with 10%, and our goal was to always do more than that. And so we got beyond the 10% for our family. But the Old Testament, we'll see here late, just soon here, that the tithes were the 10th part. But I think it does change in the New Testament. And so we learn how to tithe. We learn how to share and give of our money, and what God prospers us with and gives us and entrusts us with. One of the pivotal things for us when we were learning this is my brother-in-law Dan was, they had a little boy that fell down a hay hole and was instantly killed. And through that, I seen God dealing with his heart, and he had gotten born again just a little before I did. And so we were journeying together in that. We were sharing, and so we shared a lot of things. After their little boy was killed, there was someone else that lost a child, and he woke up one morning, and he just felt like God was landed on his heart to send $1,000 to this need. Didn't know the people very good, just heard about it. And of course it tugged at his heart, because they had just walked through that. He was obedient, and he did it barely having enough to send at that time because of all their hospital bills. They were actually pretty deep in debt with their hospital bills at that time until things were paid back. But by faith, he wrote out a check for $1,000, stuck it in the mailbox. The very same day that he sent that $1,000, a check showed up at their mailbox of $1,000. And it did something to me. I guess I've seen a higher hand is in control of my dollar. And we talked about it, and we just said, you know what? If that's the case, then we need to do what the Word says and what it asks of us to do. And so turn with me to... I'm going to have a few other verses, but while you turn to Malachi 3, I'm going to start from 6 to 12 there. But that conviction in our hearts, was settled deeply. And I think first we need to settle the issue is whose money is it? Who owns our finances? And who owns the things that we have in our possession? Our God owns it, right? And it's there for a purpose. I've heard it already. I think it's Bert that uses this term is, money is a tool to create your character. Just enforcing what Drew was sharing this morning. Money is a tool to create your character, a godly character. He uses it for his glory. And I think first, he wants us to give him everything. As we go through this morning, be thinking about a couple things here. Maybe the theme verse that I had on my heart this morning in this whole thing is Matthew 6:33, where it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Be thinking about that as we go through this. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Couple questions before we start. Will the money tell you what to do, or will you tell it what to do, or place it where it works for you? We'll learn about that later in the reaping, sowing and reaping. Will it control you, or will you control it? Remember, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And we'll see as I go through the Old Testament, it is very interesting in the first five books of the Old Testament how God had such a divine order and very specific order to everything that he set up and reasons why. And so I find this is intriguing here when you look at Malachi 3. He says, in verse 6, "For I am the Lord, and I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, Wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, Wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." And earlier in the Old Testament, it gives the tithes of the tenth part of an increase or of a increase. And the reason for the tithe was to support the priest, the widows, the Levites, which were the chosen men of God to take care of the tabernacle, and the afflicted, orphans. We'll see that later on in, I think it's James. But that was the purpose for the tithe, was to support those, and they were to bring it into the storehouse. But look what it says in verse 6. "For I am the Lord, and I change not." That portion just hit me. It's like, you know what? From Old Testament to New Testament, God doesn't change. Yes, it's the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, but the Word is still the same. But Jesus Christ fulfilled the law, but yet it's still important that we give and that we allow Him to control everything in our life and our possessions. And so they brought their tithe into the storehouse, and which was a place of getting fed, or provision, or a supply of something that I need. And so as we were learning how to give, this became very clear to me, according to what I'm reading here, is your storehouse is where you're getting fed. Spiritually, maybe also physically. If the church is what it's supposed to be, it also takes care of physical needs, financial needs. And that cycle just is an awesome cycle that God set up. And so your storehouse, it was very clear to me that your storehouse is where you are being fed. And may I say this yet? If you're not being fed there, there's a problem. God help us. God help us with that. But if you are being fed there, then it is our responsibility, our duty, to give to those who can't help themselves like Jesus Christ did to us. Just thinking of Joseph. Joseph was faithful in the dream that he had. He built storehouses. And he was preparing for a famine, mostly corn. And he was preparing for a famine that was to come. And when the famine came, he had everything that they needed for their physical needs. And they came to the storehouse because there was a supply, there was a provision there. Just a perfect picture of what God has for us. There's a supply house. There's a depth of our needs that will be met when we pursue his righteousness and seek him for it. And so he was faithful in that. He built a storehouse, and that brought life to others. Their needs were met through that. Let's go to Deuteronomy 26 next. And I want to go through here, pick out some references and we can get an idea, hopefully, by what he's saying here. 10 to 19. Let's just read those verses and I'll come back around a little bit. Verse 10, "And now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which thou, O Lord, hast given me, and thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God and worship before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee, and unto thine house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you. When thou hast made an end to tithing of all tithes of thy increase, the third year which is the year of tithing, and hast given it unto the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and they may eat within thy gates and be filled. Then thou shalt say before the Lord thy God, I have brought away the hallowed things of mine house, and also have given them unto the Levite, and unto the stranger, and to the fatherless, and to the widow, according to all thy commandments which thou hast commanded me." Look how he's taking responsibility. "I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. I have not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have I taken away aught thereof of any unclean use, nor given aught thereof for the dead, but I have hearkened to the voice of the Lord my God, and have done according to all that thou hast commanded me. Look down from thine holy habitation from heaven, and bless thy people Israel, and the land which thou hast given us, as thou swearest unto our fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey. This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart, with all thy soul. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God, and to walk in his ways, and to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and to hearken unto his voice. And the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people," basically declared or confirmed, "as he has promised thee, and thou shouldest keep all his commandments, and to make thee high above all nations which he hath made, in praise and in name and in honor, that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he has spoken." So the Lord declares us, and we declare him. In verse, a couple things I want to bring out in these verses. In verse 15, we recognize who is in control. He looks down from thy holy habitation from heaven and bless thy people Israel. An acknowledgement of he is in control. He is our God. He is the one who leads us, and he is the one who makes the provisions for us. And how they brought their first fruits or their increase and gave that for the widow, the fatherless, the Levite, the stranger, that they may be also inside the gates and be filled. And that was Jesus' heart too, that we would do unto the least of these, those that can't help themselves, those that have no means of supplying or providing for themselves in certain times. And we all have seasons of that, so that's the picture of the storehouse. And he's saying, bring your best. Bring your best. Bring your best and give. I on Wednesday evening, as we were sitting together as men, as part of our Bible study, there was some questions asked, you know, why do we live in a prosperous area? What is it that God had in mind to put us in a prosperous nation, so to speak? And I agree with what was shared this morning, is we need to be mindful of us being rich. But when you look at the rest of the world, I don't know, maybe someone has what percent, we're among the world's richest people. Does anybody have that percentage? The top. What is it? 5? What was it? 10 to 15 maybe. And so I was challenged as Drew was sharing, is if that's true, then we're considered rich. And so we would do well to ask God what to do with our money and where to place it. Where would he have us give? Where would he have us? How do we? There's a reason we're here, right? And that was the question. Why do we live in a prosperous area, a prosperous region, a prosperous nation? And what is the motive, or what is the plan that God has? What are we here for? I think there's a measure of testing or you could say obedience that needs to come out of our heart because of that, just giving back to God. James 1:27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is to visit the fatherless and the widows and their affliction and keep himself unspotted from the world. And so we are to care for them. First, it's the fatherless. Second, the widows and their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And also to visit them, to care for them, the ones that are so unprotected, you could say. And that is God's heart. In Malachi 3:5, we don't have to turn there, but that was a verse there that I was wanting to bring out. It says, and I will come near to you. Here's a warning for us. I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against these that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow, the fatherless, and that turn aside from the stranger, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. So there's a pretty strong warning there of forsaking that which is important to the heart of God. If we go back a little bit to Deuteronomy 14, just for a couple verses there, 22 to 29, he says, thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year, and thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks, basically the best of all of those, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. And if the way be too long for thee, so that thou art not able to carry it, or if the place be too far from thee, which the Lord thy God shall choose to set his name there, when the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, then shalt thou turn it into money and bind up the money in thine hand, and shalt go unto the place where the Lord thy God shall choose. So basically he's saying, if it's too far to carry all your goods, just go and turn it into money. If thou shalt bestow that money for whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, for oxen, or for sheep, or for wine, or for strong drink, or whatsoever thy soul desireth, and thou shalt eat thereof before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt rejoice, thou and thine household. And the Levite that is within thy gates shall not forsake him, for he hath no part nor inheritance with thee. At the end of 3 years thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thine increase the same year, and shall lay it up within the gates. And the Levite, because he hath no part nor inheritance with thee, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow which are within thy gates shall come, and thou shalt eat and be satisfied, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hand which thou doest. I think by now we're seeing that it is a commandment, so to speak, to take care of these people, the widows, the fatherless, those that are afflicted, those who can't help themselves, especially in the household of faith first. And I think tithing can be one way of sharing. I'm specifically talking about tithing now. I think that can be one way of sharing with those around us as such. Their needs were met when the increase was handled God's way. So basically, you can see God met their needs, and they were able to have that increase was turned into something to help others. Deuteronomy 8, 9, and 10 says, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land where stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. Verse 10, when thou hast eaten and art full, thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. And so the provision is there. The supply is there. God has that need already met for us. It's just basically our attitude before him with our money. When we yield, God can use it. When we don't yield, God can't use it for the supply of others. So when we say, my God will supply all your needs, what does that mean? Probably through other people, right? Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe through me. I'm talking about tithe. I'm talking about money. God supplies the spiritual needs as well. But this is one part that we have a responsibility before the Lord. And there is no lack. Remember the theme verse? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things will be added unto you. And he's referring to taking care of the sparrow that doesn't even harvest. It just eats and takes advantage of the harvest. But he takes care of the sparrow. How much more will he take care of us? How much more will he add through us that he can make us a channel for his glory? And so the question we may have in our minds would be, how should I tithe? How do I get started? How do I do this? Is it based on profits, or is it based on gross income? As I study on this every time, I see it as a good place to start is on your increase. You buy the seed. Let's say you spend a dollar for the seed. You have to have the money to buy the seed, right? You sow the seed, it brings forth maybe a dollar extra. So I tithe on that. It doesn't matter if it's 10, 20, 30, but you tithe on that extra dollar that you made. Then you can go buy more seed, or you can plant elsewhere. And that as I see that, I see it is referring to the increase. Now we have to check our motives at the end of the year or whenever and say, well, I didn't make a profit, but how many assets did you gain? I know there's not much to show for, but how many assets did you gain? How much did you buy to make your books look like they don't have a profit this year? Check your motives on this. God sees it, and you know how much increase there was. And I stand to be corrected on that. I that's what I've found through studying on this. It refers to the increase. You take your tithe in on the increase. And so how do I... Deuteronomy says that we should increase that tithe. Whenever there's an increase of seed, we tithe on that. And again, you know, you may ask those questions of, well, should it be on the profit or should it be on the gross profit, the net or the gross profit? What you're really saying, if you don't have a heart of giving, what you're really saying is, how little can I give? Where I think it's more God wants to see is, how much more can I give? How much could I actually give away? And how much does it take for me to live on my income, just to live on that? It's a challenge. How many could I help? The tithe is the Lord's. It's His kingdom, and for the advancement of the kingdom and His glory. So every dollar that comes in, you bring a dollar in, and teach your children this at a young age, how to work with money or percentages or how to divide it out to bring the tithe in, to give to God's work. But every dollar that comes in, how do I ask the Lord, how do I divide this? Where is it needed? And I'm not saying there's not a place for giving outside of the storehouse or where you're being fed or your church, right? But I will say this, my wife and I at some point, this was while we were in the Bible study yet, which this church birthed from a Bible study. So while we were in that Bible study with three or four of the families, we didn't have a structure for tithing. We didn't have a place that, at first we didn't have a place as far as giving money outside of our little circle. And so it became a bit confusing as we got letters by mail. We got all kinds of opportunities. You would hear about this happening and that happening, and you know, you'd just disperse it out as far as you felt you needed to. But at some point, my wife and I just, you know what, we said, we're getting all these letters by mail. We're giving to just places that we have no idea. Are these people accountable? Are they walking with the Lord? You know, and we were vulnerable in that way. And so we just narrowed it down and we said, you know what? We're going to give to the storehouse first. We're going to give to those that are feeding us and those that we're in close fellowship with. And that's where we started. But as God increases, you find yourself being able to give to other places. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it says, bring your tithe to the storehouse. And we'll get into offerings here in just a little bit. And I guess what it did for us is we just narrowed it down and said, you know what? I don't have to feel guilty to throw these letters into the trash. Because my focus, I know what God is asking us to do. So I would encourage you, target your giving. Have a purpose behind your giving. and target it, tell it where to go, and send it where it means something to you and those that you're around. And be open. Be open if God lays something on your heart and say, you know, like my brother Dan that morning, it was very clear that he was supposed to give to this need. And then it was just confirmed the same day that that was the right thing to do. So be open to that. Be open to God's Spirit and pray about every dollar that comes in your door. Just thinking about that, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, we see the order of giving in that verse. And Jesus makes a powerful statement in that verse. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's just, I see the order so clearly. It's a powerful statement of priority. Just enforcing what Drew was sharing this morning. When you wake up in the morning, spend that time with the Lord. Seek him and his righteousness. And then all these things will be added unto you. If the priorities are there in the kingdom of God, there will be no lack. Okay, we're going to shift to offerings. The definition of an offering is a gift above and beyond the tithe, a sacrifice of love, a sacrificial gift, or a charitable deed, something that is above and beyond what you're already giving. And you'll see we have extra offerings at church here, and that's basically to help a need out, to help somebody out, to help. We lay it before the Lord and we just put it out there. Here we have the little cabinet in the back, if you're not familiar with it. We have the little cabinet in the back. That's the way we do our tithes and offerings. You drop it in there. There's a lot of churches that pass things around. We started out this way, and we like it. And you could raise the question. At the beginning, we raised the question, well, will God actually meet our needs if it's not more public than that? But we trusted God with it. And all these years, since 2009, he has provided in many ways, in many ways. So, and I'm sure John Umar, you get his things that he sends out occasionally, where the money is going and so forth. Turn with me to Matthew 6, and let's look what Jesus says. Matthew 6, 1-4, he says, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Look what it says there. When you don't do it God's way, the only reward that the hypocrite has is the honor of man. That's it. He has no other reward. How sad. Verse 3, but when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. So in other words, We're talking about Jesus opens it up. He says, we just need to give. I'll tell you what to give. Just give. And he says, don't let the left hand know what the right hand does. Basically, what I got out of that, and I stand to be corrected, but what I got out of that is, why keep track of what I'm giving? What does it benefit me? If my God will supply all my needs, there will never be a lack of funds over here. So why should I keep track? Why can't I just give and give and give? If my God is going to supply this need all the time, that I'm going to be okay like the sparrow and never have lack, then is it okay just to give and give and not keep track? Whether it's the right hand or the left hand, it's a challenge. But Jesus raises the bar there. There's more in here. Matthew 14, 12 to 14, I think it is. I'm sorry, it's Luke. Let's go to Luke 14. He says, "Then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed," priorities here, "the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just." So we see a call here to take care of those who can't help themselves. See, the Christian life is about me decreasing and him increasing. And so if he cannot increase in me, if I cannot decrease, then he cannot increase in me. And so the increase is done when I decrease. And money has a sowing and a reaping effect. When you invest in truth, you reap the right fruit. You reap truth, right? When you plant an apple tree, you're guaranteed apples. There's no oranges that grow on an apple tree. And so when we invest or we sow into the right thing, we gain that. When you spend or invest unwisely, your fruit is sour or it's bad. And so the principle of the seed, when planted, is when you plant a seed, it's interesting, this time of the year, we're in that time of the year now. In fact, we did some yesterday. Is we planted some seeds, and that seed is expected to die before it brings new life. And so you put the seed into the ground, it dies, and it brings new life. And taking the seed and increasing it or multiplying it, but until that seed is planted, it cannot multiply. Until you take that seed and you plant it, it cannot multiply. So we look at the farmer, and there's soil prep. There's the seed bed to prepare. There's removing of the rocks. There's the constant harrowing, fertilizing, building up the soil, and every effort the farmer makes, whether it's removing rocks or getting the seed bed ready, is to maximize the seed. And I guess I go back to, what is priority in our lives? Are we maximizing the seed that God has given us? And so we see the reaping and sowing effect, and it's all pointed toward a harvest. The principle that the farmer uses to make his land productive is the same basic principle on which the kingdom of God operates. The principle of seed time and harvest, or cause and effect. Again, we're talking about priorities. We're talking about the attitude toward money. We're talking about the things that are important to God. The biblical principle of the harvest refers to those that are born again. We talk about the harvest. And those, they're the ones, the harvest is already the ones that are walking with Christ. They're already in. They're already in the harvest. They've been brought in. And they're ready to be brought in, right? It's still out there. Those who care. those that we can care for, whether it's time, money, spiritual truth, things of that sort. Those are hungry and thirsty for righteousness. And, you know, honestly, it takes the same faith to reap as it does to sow. Maybe I'll just inject this. I know a few people that they've gained over the years, and all of a sudden their gain was as big of a problem, or as big of a challenge. What to do with it as it was to retain it. You understand? It takes as much faith to know how to take care of your increase as it does when you don't have the increase, when you're just sowing the seed. And that's why we trust God with it. That's why we look to God for answers for those things. But the same faith is needed for that, to reap and to take that opportunity. So the question that I thought of when, and Drew mentioned it there, is it okay to have an increase? Is God okay with that? I found this verse in Proverbs 8:21 that says, that I may cause thee that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. And it refers to wealth, but it's a dealing of the heart. So is it wrong to be rich in America? I don't think so. He is faithful in increasing us when we make priority His way, His word, His wisdom. He wants to increase this. And again, it's not that the money is the problem. It's the love of the money. The love of the money is the problem. That is the root of all evil. That's where we need to ask God to take care of that root. Increase is a result of what you give, not what you get. There's a story that I usually like to tell that just intrigued me early in our journey. There was this Christian businessman that he started out with 10% because that's what the Old Testament says. And so by faith he obeyed that. And as his business grew, he looked at Malachi and he said, I'm going to try to outgive God. And you know, you won't do that, because God will always supply that need. He will always keep that full. And anyway, the years went on and his business grew, and he kept giving 15%, 20%, 25%, 30, 40, 50. He went all the way up to 90%. He was giving 90% away, and he was living on 10%. But God had so increased and so filled his business with opportunity that he could live on 10%. Basically, the volume picked up so drastically, so quickly, that God allowed him to live on 10%, and he totally reversed the order that God gave in the Old Testament. And he was technically giving away 90% of his income, and he was living on 10%. So just giving you a picture of that, my God will supply all your needs, everything we have need of. But think about, not only was his provision made, but all these other things were being provided for as well. So is an increase okay? This guy had a heart of giving. He's seen the blessing in giving. And he had a right heart in it. He had a right attitude in it. And God used him as a channel in his business. What a challenge. One of the greatest tools for sowing and reaping is our financial giving. A person's life is in a seed form. We can look at it as, I know we're talking about money, but we can talk about time. We give of our time and labor to gain money. When you go to work, it was mentioned this morning, oh, you got to get up, you do your devotions, and you go to work. Why do we do that? We're trading our time and labor for income in return. It's amazing how God set that up. So we can gain, so He can sow in our lives and place funds into the kingdom. We promote God and His word and set an increase, the future, and then watch God multiply as you give. Thought of this as a test for us this morning. A good indicator of growth in a Christian believer is their giving. A good indicator of growth in a Christian believer is their giving, or in their giving. That's a challenge, a test for us to look at. Are we doing what God set up? I heard that there's an Amish man that did this study. He said if all the Amish would recognize, maybe even the Mennonites, I'm not sure, but as much as prosperous as this area is, or even across the nation, if every person would recognize the value of tithing or giving offerings or giving, the blessing of giving, if every person would recognize that, there would not be any hospital bills unmet. Somebody did the math, and it was unbelievable how far beyond the actual costs were currently at that time. But the need was met so far beyond. There was such an increase beyond that. If every person would tithe and give according to their income as God has asked us to. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. May God help us. And I think one way we can shed light into this is just simply, if God lays it on your heart, just give. Just give to that person in your community, the communities that we live in, just give to that person. No strings attached. In our minds, we tend to think, well, maybe God will give me something in return. No. This is today. Today is the day. Then tomorrow is a new day. There'll be another opportunity there. And then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, there'll be more opportunities. It doesn't matter what happened on Monday. I don't need anything from that. And besides, God is the one that supplied the dollar for it. Why would I not give it away? It's like Bert says, you know, we get to have this whole bank account and we only pay 10%. I think it goes beyond 10%, but just think about it. He gives you everything you have and you pay a small percentage of that. In closing here, 2 Corinthians 9. Six to 11, we see the blessing of giving. 2 Corinthians 9, starting in verse 6, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. But every man, according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. in verse 6 there, we see the law of the harvest, which is so true. We understand that perfectly, right? If you sow little, you get little. If you sow one seed, you only harvest from that one plant. If you sow two seeds, you harvest from two plants. That's the law of the harvest. So if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. It's an encouragement to us. And so verse 7, he says, you know, every man according as he has purposed in his heart. Make a decision what you want to do leaving here this morning. Make a decision how you want to run your finances. He says, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And I know this can be a couple different things. This can be spiritually what it's talking about here in 2 Corinthians. But I love the fact of that, where you, the reaping and sowing effect in here that it talks about. So again, giving is an attitude of love there in verse 7. Verse 8, he says that God loves a generous giver. And so he pours an increase on it. Look at all the alls in that verse. And so you may think, well, I don't have a lot to give. It's okay. It's all right. Start where you're at this morning. I love this when you pull the offering. This grips my heart. When you pull the offering box out, which I don't do. It's the responsibility of others here, but I hear it every once in a while. The little box is pulled out, and there's a couple coins in there. Maybe a child gave all that they had. Maybe it was just simply somebody, this is all I have for this need, but I'm going to give it. I'm amazed how when I watch children, they're like, oh, I can give $5, but that's all you have. Are you okay with that? Yeah, I'll get more. But can we be more like children? So we thank God where we are today, and we move forward and trust him with an increase. God sees a generous giver, so he pours his increase into the giver so that he can continue to give even more. Again, it's an attitude. So thank God where you are. You know, when we plant the garden, in one sense, it takes faith after you have it planted. But really, while you're planting it, the increase is in your hands. You're the sower. Sow it, and then trust God to let God build it. And then also trust him when you reap it. Sowing, and the law of sowing and reaping is amazing. Plant what you have and watch God grow that. Just a few things here in closing. We live in interesting times. And I know when COVID hit, God laid it on my heart to share with the employees. I said, you know, this is a time where you want to work yourself out of debt, unnecessary debt. And I would encourage us as a congregation, be mindful of that. I'm talking about unnecessary debt, whether it be credit card debt, things of that sort. Check your heart where you're putting your money. Where is there an unhealthy situation as things would increase more and more? I would recommend work yourself out of that. We live in interesting times. And, you know, we don't know how long we'll actually have money. I don't know, but we currently have it. And so we seek to do what God wants us to do with it. And also the second thing is, when you plan to invest, seek counsel of older people. make sure. Get them to pray with you. Before you expand something, get them to pray with you. We are living in interesting times. And we are living in prosperous times across the world. And there are things that God is setting up, obviously. There's an undermining of values and dishonesty and things of that sort across the world. And so that will, going back to the sowing and reaping, what is being sowed today, we will reap for that eventually. And how that will look, none of us really know. But there is a sowing and reaping effect in that as well. What is being sowed today, we will reap for tomorrow. But may God help us, and may His mercy be in the lives of those people that are pushing new things that are ungodly. And may God help us to yield our finances to Him. May we recognize the blessing of giving. And Seth, it may be just a smile in Greece. Maybe that's the only thing you can give to a person. But may that help them come to Christ. So we seek Him to supply all of our needs and everything that we have need of. And that which we have in our possessions, may God help us to continue to be faithful in that. That way, years down the road, we can say, I did what God asked me to. Maybe when you're the age of some of the older men in here, I would love to hear from some of them sometime of how God blessed you with finances. How did He deal with you over the years? And how did you handle that? And so it's just a short time here where we can lay it before the Lord, and we can just ask Him to help us in these things. Let's pray. Father, we just lay our hearts before You. Lord, we just lay our finances before You, our wealth, and recognize that we are rich in many things here in America. Lord, I pray that we would have the right attitude, the right heart in this, and that You would help us. You would guide each decision, Lord. As we go out tomorrow morning, as we go out the following day, Lord, help us to set our priorities in order and seek first the kingdom of God. Seek You first when there's a decision that needs to be made financially. Seek You first when there's an increase that comes into our hands. And Lord, that we could disperse that according to how You want us to. And so, Lord, I just pray, Father, for each person in here. Lord, that You would bless their finances and give them wisdom, Father. Give them the attitude of giving to someone, somehow, Father. And Lord, that You would protect any wrong motives of coming into their finances, Lord. And You would protect that which You've given and entrusted to them, Lord. And so help each one of us, God. We look to You. We recognize we're very vulnerable in this area. Lord, I pray that we could deal with our hearts, deal with our minds, our motives, everything that wants to distract us, God. Lord, and I pray, Father, You would meet the needs of every person here in this church this morning, Father. Lord, I pray every financial need would be met, Lord. Every spiritual need, every emotional need, Father. We just ask this in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just thank You for allowing us to be together in this way. Just pray, Father, for wisdom and grace as we continue to move forward in these things. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.